everyone, and welcome to Fam for All Moms. My name is Shahrzad Kiade, and this is Susan Yara, next to me, on my right.
Hello.
In the flesh.
In the flesh.
Social distanced, next to me. Okay, we have, we're switching things up. We got some fun little questions that are really popular in the Facebook group that we're going to ask each other, and then soon ask our fabulous guest today.
Yeah, and if, before we get into the questions, our guest today is a woman that we were introduced to named Jen Zugli. She's the CEO of the Swoondle Society. If you're into sustainable living, you like buying clothing for your kids, whatever it is that you like, you're going to want to listen to the conversation with her. But let's answer our questions first. These are questions, like Shahrzad said, that are popular. These are popular questions that we find in our private Facebook group, Fam for All Moms. So we've been rounding them up, and we think that it's great to share different answers to these questions.
Because every mom will have a different answer. And there's no right way to mom. You know, there's such a... Anyway, I'm going to shut up and just get to the questions.
No, it's true, though. There is no right way.
So, okay. How much TV or screen time for your kid? Do you want to answer first or do you want me to go?
I can go. So are we considering TV screen time?
No.
Yes. No? We're considering only iPads.
Yeah. Let's separate it between TV and an iPad.
Okay. So, well, for TV, that shit is on all day long. Like the minute he wakes up, I feel like the TV goes on. Not even because he's watching it, but just because... I don't know. Maybe it's because of COVID now and everything. We just like it fills some kind of a space or something. He doesn't even really care for TV. It's been on so much that sometimes he doesn't want to watch TV anymore. When it comes to iPad, we actually cut back during all the COVID stuff, all this like social distancing stuff or self-quarantine stuff, just because I started feeling like the iPad was starting to make him harder to deal with, if that makes any sense. Like They wanted, you know, we started doing Zoom classes and that just wasn't working. And I preferred him playing outside. So we start skipping the Zoom classes. He didn't do it at all, basically, for the last few months. And then we were letting him play with the iPad like for 2 hours straight in the evening before bed so that we could watch TV also like freely. And then we realized he was starting to have like a heart attack when we would take it away and say it was time for bed. And so bedtime was starting to move it later and later and later. So like a month ago, we decided it was time to put both kids on, maybe a little longer than a month ago, both kids back on a sleep schedule, back like hardcore rules, like all that kind of stuff. And we've basically limited iPad time to maybe 1 hour, 2 hours max a week.
Yeah.
And that's been so much better. And he's throwing less tantrums. I don't know what it is about the iPad, but they flip their shit.
Yeah, I actually took my kids' iPads away completely in, I want to say it was September. So we're going on almost a year of no iPad. They got a few exceptions for travel, but I actually decided to cut that out as well in the summer.
Impressive.
So the last time they got an iPad was February. And again, it's not because I'm trying to be some saint or anything. I do create healthy social media habits in my home, but this was because it was making my job as a parent a lot harder.
Yeah.
And it was, I, taking the iPad away was causing so much drama that I just said, screw it, I'm done with it. And it really helped my kids do other things. They play more, they color more, they're outside more. They have a childhood similar, I guess, in that way to, it's like old school, right? Like they're outside more. It's like, nah, go play outside. TV, though, is a different thing. That I was really strict with in pre-COVID. No TV Monday through Friday afternoon. No TV whatsoever. And again, that stemmed from me thinking that TV actually made it harder for me to parent them. Because every time I said turn the TV off, I was met with fits.
Yeah.
And I, in a moment of just like anger, was like, no TV Monday through Friday. And then TV also like doesn't feel as isolating as an iPad because it's something we can all do together. I can walk by, I can make sure they're watching something that I'm cool with. Whereas an iPad, it's a little, felt like it was a little bit harder for me to control. And I'm all about making this parenting thing as fun and easy for me as possible. And I don't want my kids to be addicted to the screens. That's very important to me.
Something that helped me with the iPad situation. So, you know, like I said, in the beginning of all the quarantine stuff, we were letting him just kind of have iPad whenever he wanted. And then now that we've set rules, one of the things that I've noticed really makes a difference is instead of letting him play with just YouTube, for instance, where his mind just becomes like pure like crap and just he, it almost makes him like not want like to watch zombie. One. Yeah, it's like not even watching one thing at a, it's like he just keeps flipping through to the next thing and the next thing. Mm-hmm. And that was making him have a fit when we would take it away from him. What the two things that have really changed it is I have downloaded apps that help him learn but feel like games.
Yeah.
That helps him. He actually sometimes will be like, after he's done some of these learning games for a while, like 30 minutes, he's like, I'm done.
Yeah.
So that's one thing. And two, right before I want him to end the and actually I got this tip sort of from you without you even knowing it, right when I'm about to like tell him that it's time to turn the iPad off, I tell him, all right, we've got 5 minutes left, even though he doesn't know what 5 minutes is,
right?
And I say, Alexa, five minute timer, please.
Yeah.
And he knows when Alexa goes off, he has to end the iPad, and it doesn't feel so like sudden to him.
Right. And it's not you telling him, it's like Alexa.
Yeah. It's like, there it goes. The beeping's happening. It's time. And he actually turns it off and hands it to me now.
That's great. Yeah. That's great. Yeah. And I would never mom shame somebody for letting their kids watch an iPad. It's just what worked for me. And I have to say, for me personally, I think it's made a big, huge difference. Every now and then, Idris asks for his iPad, and I say no.
Yeah.
And he might earn it one day, and I quote unquote earn, like, but in general, it's made my life harder, so I don't see ever introducing it again.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, listen, we, like I said, we still allow a games. Little bit of iPad time, and the time that we do it is when we need it.
Yeah.
It's when we absolutely, like, or maybe we just want to watch a damn movie that just got introduced on Netflix or something, and we need that moment of not having to chase him around and stuff. So that's when we pull it out. Usually it's only like once or twice a week now.
Yeah. Good, 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 good. I'm curious to see what other people do. You guys can leave your responses in the Facebook group. How did you get your kids back on good habits, back on track after vacation? This is a good one. And for me, I don't have a good answer for it, but it is something that I feel like pops up a lot. I don't know even what to say. I guess I'm a little bit strict and I just get them back on the next day. But if we get back the day we get back from a vacation, I'm a little bit more loose. I'll let them stay up a little bit later. Maybe we'll do a family movie, order food, something like that. It's always hard to come home from a vacation.
You know what it is? You know what I do is I try. I don't always succeed at this, but I always try to schedule like the flights and stuff according to their sleep schedules.
Oh, yeah. That's
if it can work out. And then that usually helps a little bit. Obviously, if you go to another country and there's time change and all that kind of stuff, then you have to be a lot more lenient. But I think like trying to keep some of your rules during vacation is really a good thing too with your kids.
Yeah. Okay. When did you start your period again postpartum? So for me with both kids, it was exactly a month after I stopped nursing.
Oh, wow.
With both. So it was great because it was great.
Yeah.
And so then it was so sad when I got my period.
I know. You know,
it's just like, no.
I know. I haven't started my period yet, even though I'm almost 11 months out.
Oh, good.
Because it takes me.
How fun.
So both of them. So a year, past a year.
Nice.
And I partially think that's because of my hormones with my thyroid.
Thyroid, yeah.
Yeah.
It's so different for everybody.
But I'm okay with it.
Yeah. Well, our guest is going to answer these questions as well. So after a quick break, you guys will meet her. We are in summer.
Which
means my kids are outside till as late as they possibly can. And I'm one of those people that really wants my kids to just get, you know, get dirty, get out there, play with dirt, be a kid. But what that means, laundry for me.
Yeah, I know.
I'm really excited that we are partnering with OxiClean to bring you this episode.
I really do think it takes out all of the stains from not only your clothing or your kids' clothing, but, you know, there are all the things that I'm constantly cleaning, like rugs, blankets, towels, anything that, you know, like my kids are using right now. They get food everywhere. They spill everything. You know, if you even want to clean your bathrooms, like the tile and the grout, or remove carpet stains.
I got one for you.
Yep.
Outdoor patio stains.
Oh, yeah. You can use it.
Patio furniture.
So we want you guys to give OxiClean Versatile Stain Remover a try for yourself. To work out your magic with OxiClean, go to OxiClean.com/try me and order a free sample. That's OxiClean.com/TRYME for a free stain fighting sample while supplies last.
Hi, Jen.
Hi, guys.
It's so nice to meet you.
Likewise. I'm so happy to be here and chat with you guys today.
Yeah, we were connected through one of
our mutual
your
friends.
Mutual friends, yep. Who you know much better than I do,
yeah.
Randy, and she was singing your praises.
She said the same, and she is amazing. So,
well, first off, tell us how many kids you have and their ages.
Sure. I have 2 kids. I have a 7-year-old daughter and a 5-year-old son.
You're definitely out of the baby stages, but you're in a stage where there's still a lot of growth and a lot of learning and everything, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. It comes with new challenges. You get kind of out of the weeds, out of the gear, and into the, like, a little bit more of the drama and the negotiations.
I'm closer to your phase right now. My boys are 6 and 3 and a half. And if you don't say the half in front of Cyrus, he gets very upset.
All the feels.
Okay, so we want to start with some fun questions, icebreakers, if you will, especially since we don't really know you that well.
Yep.
How much TV or screen time do you let your kids have? And you can say, if you want, pre-COVID versus COVID. I know it's very different for moms.
Yes. Well, obviously, during the height of the school pandemic, it was a very different answer because they had Zooms for school and they had work on their iPads and laptops. So during that zone, it was like 5 hours a day, which is just unprecedented in our house. Typically they get one show before bed, like in the 20 minute to 30 minute range. And then on weekends, we let them have a little bit more time in the mornings. And that started pretty much because we wanted to be able to sleep in.
Yep. What are they watching?
Well, my daughter, the 7-year-old, is like, you know, 7 going on 17. So she's very into this show, Victorious, I believe it's called. That is, you know, about, it's kind of like a modern version of Fame, for what I can tell.
Oh, I think I've heard of this.
I don't know that one, but Victorious. I also don't have girls. So if there's anything like quote unquote, like feminine, my kids are just repulsed.
They're her like boys,
drugs.
Yeah. They're like rough and tough boys.
Yeah. They are like,
well, we're into, Beastmaster too.
Okay.
Is that what it's called? The like ninja one.
Yeah,
the Netflix ninja one, is it called Beastmaster? I believe.
I don't know that one either. We're pretty hyper focused on Paw Patrol right now. But yeah, my kids are a little bit younger, so
we're in the cartoons phase also. Okay, wait. Second question. This one, you know, it's like a little relevant maybe for some people, but not for everybody. But how do you get your kids back on track with good habits, or even just back on track, you know, after vacation with like their sleep schedule and stuff?
Well, we have always from day one been super militant about sleep. You know, I will also say that the COVID thing has thrown a little bit of a wrench in things, but we have always just been like, it is bedtime and you are out. It's mom and dad time. We started, I mean, I know this is controversial to some folks, but like sleep training at 10 weeks, we had those kids like in their bed 7 to 7, and it was full lockdown. I will say that, you know, summer, COVID, the bedtime has bled a little bit later. So we're now in the like 8:30 range. And then they're not allowed to come upstairs and talk to us until at least 7.
Oh, I love that. So you're like, nice. Do you have one of those lights or something that
we used
them?
To the okay to wake clocks. Yes.
Oh, wow.
And it like changes color when it's, you know, allowed to leave your room. They're now to the point where they don't really need that because they kind of want to stay asleep a little. They're not like sleeping like teenagers, but you know, they're kind of, we've trained them that, you know, 7 a.m. can't come up before that. And usually they're more in the like 7:38 range.
So you're a sleep training success story. I mean, that's good. I hear moms like trying really hard and then it all gets shot to shit. And it sounds like it really worked starting young. That's awesome.
I mean, I'm definitely of the opinion that you have to do what works for you and your family, and everybody has to be on the same page, like you and your partner, your husband, or your significant other, because if you're not both like die hard committed to it, you will fold, you will crack. Cause it, especially when you've got those little babies to like stay, you know, stay tough is really, really, really hard. But I will say after the 2 days of doing it, it was the best thing that we ever did for our kids, ourselves, our family. And, I'm a firm believer that if I had another kid, I would be the first one lined up to do it.
I failed at sleep training. I thrived at potty training, but sleep training, I really but you did well with sleep training.
I did well with sleep training. I fell off for a second. And then I, you know, it's funny. I talked to this, this woman, I call her, she's like the modern day Mary Poppins. And she came in, she was suggested by your friend, Dinah, a mutual friend of ours. I think she's like super nanny. She's like this woman that comes in, she like says the F word. She's like, fuck this. But at the same time, she's amazing with children. And she's Australian. So there's something that makes it sound like just cuter when she says the F word. And she was just like, you have to get your kids back on schedule. 7 to 7 is mom and dad time. And then 7 to 7 during the day is kids time.
Yeah.
And that's it. She's like, that is the rule. And that really just stuck with me. And once we went back to it, I was like, yep, we're sticking with this.
And Isla's back on track.
Yep.
Nice.
And that's changed everything.
Good.
It really does from your like mental sanity standpoint and your ability to want to hang out with your kids too.
Well, and even your husband, right? It's like, I felt like the worst part was I felt like I just didn't even know who my husband was. I was like, where is he? I don't even see him anymore.
I feel like that's why we failed is because Michael and I were not on the same page with how to do this. Cause he's not as tough when the babies were crying and they were yelling like daddy. Cause we tried I don't know what it was. My memory is foggy, but it was like the 3-day sleep training method or something like that, or the fervor or whatever it's called, where you go in and you wait 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Somebody can Google that. Cause I'm obviously butchering it, but Michael couldn't handle it.
Yeah.
He couldn't handle it at all. Well, he was like, no, I got
to
get him.
Yeah, you have to be on the same page.
And so we would fight about it. And we would have no sleep. And it was great for our marriage.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Okay, so this is another question that's really common. If you don't want to answer, you definitely don't have to. But people are always wondering in the Facebook group, when did you get your period after you had a baby?
Well, I did nurse both of my kids for a year. And I was one of those unlucky ones that actually got my period back with the second one, like at like 10 weeks, I was like, isn't this supposed to be my respite here? Oh, so I pretty much had it like the whole time. Like after my second one, my first one, I think I've blocked out, but it definitely was not for the full, year of like nursing. So it was like maybe a few months I had a break, but
Back at it. Oh, yeah. What a bummer.
Blech.
I know.
I know.
So sad.
Anyway, well, tell us about the Swindle Society.
Swindle. Tell us about the Swindle Society.
I would love to. So, like I had said before, you know, I have a daughter and then I had a son. And at the time I was living in Brooklyn in a, you know, 2-bedroom, you know, small apartment and cramming everything into every nook and cranny. And needless to say, I had bought way too much girl stuff and, you know, having a lot of fun, you know, being a new mom of a little girl and going to sample sales and Century 21 all over the city and cute boutiques and what have you. And then my son was born and I was like digging through all the bins that I'd, you know, been, you know, careful about folding and labeling and what have you. And was like, I can't put him in any of this stuff. And I was, you know, kind of then, well, what do I do with it all? Like, how do I magically wave a wand and turn this like, you know, adorable purple Sorel boots that I arguably spent too much money on whatever, you know, you make these decisions. How do I turn them into blue ones? Or how do I make them go from a size, you know, 5 to a size 6 or what have you? Because let's face it, they're wearing them once, you know, or twice because it, you know, snows or it doesn't snow. And, you know, as I started looking at the different options, I was just kind of disappointed and frustrated with the different choices when it came to the kid clothes. It was, you know, I was either going to spend a ton of time and not get a whole lot back for them, or I was just going to get nothing for them and just, you know, write it off and just be like, okay, well, here you go. Or I was going to give, you know, maybe get a, you know, get even less back, but not have to do any work, right? Like the consignment method of like, here, take all my stuff and give me a few bucks, right? And, you know, some of it you're like, okay, that's fine. And then you've got this stuff that you spent real money on and you're like, well, there's gotta be some other solution here. And, you know, people would give bags of stuff away and you get on these mom Facebook groups and, you know, people haggling over a bag of clothes that probably somebody spent hundreds of dollars on. And, you know, it's like, I don't know, like the whole thing just made me disappointed that we had, that there wasn't a better way to hand me down, or there wasn't a better, more modern way that I could get rid of my stuff and kind of replace it with something comparable. Cause let's face it, I want to get rid of a dress and I want to replace it with another dress that's the next size bigger. Or I want to replace that dress with a sweater for my son. Like I keep needing more stuff, but I was sort of, as I got more into it, I'm like, I don't want to buy more stuff. I just want to use the stuff that I have to like parlay it into something that I need or can use. And so that's what kind of gave me this idea of, well, how could I trade it with somebody else or with a group of people to, you know, find a mix of people to, you know, give my girl stuff for and take the boy stuff, or, you know, get the next bigger size. And as I started thinking through it, I'm like, well, for this really to make sense, you need it to be a centralized thing so that there's like, it makes it fair to swap, and you need, you know, a means of, you need a fair number of people, so you have the right size, gender, season, mix of stuff. And so this is what, where kind of the impetus for Swoondle came. And Swoondle is structured as a membership as opposed to a kind of buy sell framework. You become a member, you send your stuff to Swoondle that your kids have outgrown. We take each item and we weed out anything yucky. we've built up partnerships with domestic textile recyclers to ensure that it's getting the most possible reuse of anything that it can. Anything that's really low value that is not going to really trade well, like think of the 8 million onesies and little layette leggings and that kind of stuff. We actually siphon that off and give the customer partial credit, and we either regroup it into make big bundles or we donate. And we've donated this year alone over 30,000 items to a nonprofit that doesn't resell them. They actually get worn by children who need clothes. That was really important to me as we were looking at partnerships. And then everything else, we catalog, we photograph, and we value. But instead of valuing it for here's 50 cents for your jeans or something, we say this is a level one item, a level two item, 3, 4, and 5. And with kid clothes, that range is pretty compact. As I'm sure you know, there's not a whole lot of stuff way out, you know, beyond the $100 range. There's a long tail, you know, if you're buying your kid Gucci shoes, you know, there's a difference, but that's not the majority. And then it allows you to go in and say, I'm going to trade this level one item for another level one item, any size, any season, any gender. And your membership covers a certain number of trades per month, depending on what level of membership you have.
I like That's it. So awesome. Wait, is it kind of like a house swap? You know, like how there's like those house swap.
I'm just thinking situations. Of that movie with Cameron Diaz.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
The Holiday. Yes.
Yeah. That's what it is. Yep.
So it is, except if you think about that, that is just like individual to individual. So it's a one-to-one, whereas this is en masse. So you don't have to find that other family like you, because it's all coming to one place. When you go shopping for your things that you want to swap out, you can pick from anything in our 10,000 plus, you know, list that is the same level as what you sent in. So you may be getting an item that somebody from Boston sent in, and an item from something that somebody in Georgia sent in, and from Iowa, and it's all on our site. So it comes to us, it's in one warehouse. So it's one shipment back out. So you don't have to find that perfect other family to like match with.
Yeah.
I love it.
You know, I love to cook. I like to cook all the time. It's one of my favorite things to do. It's how I relax. You know who doesn't know how to cook? Michael.
Michael.
Michael doesn't know how to cook, but insert HelloFresh, and he is a wizard in the kitchen because the instructions are so easy to follow. We get this amazing box of delicious food delivered to our door, and all we have to do is assemble it. All the ingredients are the perfect size, the perfect amount. There's an easy to follow recipe, and Michael, who's not the most talented in the kitchen, can just take charge and go for it and make me delicious meals. It's awesome.
you know, I really love that there's a variety of recipes to choose from. I feel like it pleases everybody, whether you're a vegetarian or a pescatarian like you, or you're in a family like me where there are meat eaters. There's really something for everyone, and over 90% of the ingredients are sourced directly from the growers to ensure the freshest recipes are delivered to your door. And that, you know, like sourcing all of the ingredients from the actual growers, the farmers, is really important to me. A lot of people think that when you get a subscription like HelloFresh, that's only for dinner, but I actually make some of these meals for our lunches as well. And that is always helpful because sometimes I'm sitting around thinking, what the heck am I going to make for the entire family, especially these days since we don't have as many options. So this has been really helpful to have a HelloFresh subscription. And you know what? They're also committed to giving back. HelloFresh donated over 2.5 million meals to charity in 2019. And this year, they're really stepping it up with their food donations amid the coronavirus crisis. I feel like that's so important right now because so many people are really in need of food.
Absolutely. And I just have to say, my meals were delicious and a good size portion. So if you're a single gal, you'll have a lot of leftovers for the next day. There's no waste when it comes to the food. A lot of times people go to the grocery store and they get a little bit too much food because for a recipe, but this gives you the exact amount of ingredients that you need. It's also flexible and fits your lifestyle. So you can keep your fridge stocked by adding extra proteins or sides like garlic bread to your weekly order. We are big fans.
Go to HelloFresh.com/fam80 and use code FAM80 to get a total of $80 off. That's including free shipping on your first box. There are additional restrictions that apply, but go to HelloFresh.com for more details. Again, go to HelloFresh.com/fam80 and use code FAM80 to get a total of $80 off, including free shipping on your first box.
So you get a membership and I could potentially like go home today and yep. go through all my boys' clothes, which there are so many things that they haven't even actually worn.
Happens all the time.
And I have two boys, so you'd think that all the clothes would just transfer from the first to the second. But actually my boys were born complete opposite seasons, one May and one November. So they're like,
it never matches.
One had a sweater season. And when it was, you know, the right size was the wrong season. So it just didn't like totally make sense. And I say this all the time. I don't love shopping and I also don't like waste. I hate waste. I hate seeing like piles of, you know, garbage that humans have made. And also you feel like a piece of shit when you've bought something and then it just never gets worn. So this is like a really awesome solution. Do you have, what are your prices?
So you hit all the key things that were driving me bananas, right? It was like some of my stuff was destroyed and then there was other stuff that was untouched. And it's usually that's what happens, especially as your kids get older, right? They pick things that they want to wear and they wear it to death.
Yep.
And then there's all this just stuff just sitting in the closet that was never worn. And it gives you that like just angst of like waste of, but financial waste and like just consumerish waste.
Well, you sit there and you feel guilty almost. You're like, well, even though she only wore this for a picture for 10 minutes, what else could I do with this? And you're like, well, she doesn't fit it anymore. Why am I keeping it?
Totally. And this helps you kind of get over it. And it helps you kind of be like, all right, I can buy a little bit better quality because I know that it will have residual value. So it helps kind of, you know, transition away from some of that, you know, let's buy more like stuff that's like lower end that's just
like
going to
fashion.
Yep. It helps you kind of get your head around, okay, I might spend a little bit more on these pajamas, but they're going to get a lot of wear out of them. They're going to wash well. And I'm going to get to be able to get another pair of pajamas at the end of this that are going to be the right size and season.
I love that.
So I know I didn't answer your question, so I'll circle back. We have two membership levels. We have one that's $10 a month, which gives you
five free
trades per month. And then we have another one that's an annual membership that's like the unlimited membership, and that's $180 for the year. And you can do as much trading in and trading out as you want, and there's no trade fees.
That's awesome. And you have some good stats about like reducing your footprint, right, with your company, don't you? Did I see that on an email somewhere?
We've to date, I think it's over, the numbers are creeping up all the time, but over 5 tons of items that we've siphoned off into textile recycling. We have over, I think I said this year alone, over 30,000 pieces we've kept in use and donated to our nonprofit partner Room to Grow. Typically our members that have been with us at least 6 months have reaped over $1,200 in value back in trade of items, you know, and none of the memberships cost that much. We are at 100% reuse of all the textiles that come in with all the partnerships that we've built.
Can you join and not actually send anything in, but, you know, like spend money or something?
Yeah. You don't have to even join to you can buy, you can just straight up go into the site and buy. We do specials often just for people that want to come in and purchase. Cause we get, I mean, we only have 5 price points. So there's a lot of stuff in those 5 price points that are some pretty good deals. And our sales typically go, like, items go on sale and they'll just go from a level 3 to now a level 2. So it jumps from, you know, at $22 to 12, just pretty quickly. So we do have a lot of people that will come in and just buy things and then trade it back in. That's a lot of times what they'll be like, oh, well, now I get it. You know, I understand how it works.
Wait, so what age do you go up to for kids?
Is it like we target newborn to about 14.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. We find that once you get into the tweens, we accept a little bit because there's some crossover between, well, what's a tween versus a, you know, what does that look like? The kids. Mm-hmm. But we try to, at that point, we find fit becomes just so important. And, it, you know, these tween bodies are changing and they have much more of a point of view about things. We do want to get a lot of
very easy way. Yeah, you don't want to get all the midriffs and the like the stuff that mom found in the
nipple tassels.
Yeah, it's like, wait, where did you buy this? Why are you wearing this? This is going away.
Completely. When I was between, I was dressing like a, like my clothes could fit an 8-year-old because they were so tiny.
I definitely got sent home a few times.
Because I was a little.
Yeah. I would like throw on a really big baggy jacket in middle school.
That was my jam.
My dad would be like, oh, he wouldn't even think to check that. Maybe I'm wearing a midriff underneath or something, but.
Oh my God. My friends even knew that when they came over to my house, they had to cover up.
Uh-huh.
Like not just me, but all my friends like could not show their stomachs or their ass basically. You wouldn't think would be an issue, but we're talking about like little wild teenagers here. Everybody had to cover up in front of Bubba June. But then once we left, everything came off.
We
threw it in the backyard and then we had to put it right back on when we walked into my house. Anyway, off topic. But this is so, so cool that you do this. I hate shopping. I'm so excited to use your service.
I'm not a big shopper. People always ask me that as well. Like, oh, are you like, is that you love to shop and your fashion? And I'm like, well, obviously I kind of, you know, initially having this baby maybe shopped a little too much, but it is not my core. Like I don't shop for myself at all. I don't really enjoy it. I'm very tall. Like I'm 6'2".
Oh, wow.
So yeah. Well, and so I never really got into it because I always felt like nothing really fit me anyway. So just, mm-hmm. you know, give me the jeans, give me the t-shirt, whatever, like we'll figure it out. Or a dress that I can just sort of like, you know, doesn't matter. And I'd have nice short dresses. You know, for me, it was just like, all right, this is great. Like, and let's face it, like, as long as they had, you know, as long as there's enough choice, I can find something that me and or my kids will look great in and I'll like. So this actually helps you find some interesting things that aren't in your normal, like, okay, here are the 4 stores that I see in my hometown or like that I'm used to getting emails from. You kind of get a little bit more variety, but yet it's, I don't want to say super curated, but it's curated because it's a membership. It's all sourced from other members.
Well, also like times are hard right now. I think the shopping is not the forefront of everybody's mind and people have had a lot of real big financial hardships lately. So this is a really good way to keep things fresh without breaking the bank or adding to the trash pileup that's like taking completely over our planet.
It can help solve a lot of both psychological and emotional like angst that we hold onto that we don't even realize that we're holding onto, as well as, you know, has definitely financial gains. But even for people, we hear a lot that, you know, they can afford to like buy their stuff new. And we hear a lot of people will say things, well, you know, I can get 2 of these t-shirts at, you know, on sale at Target. And it's just like, you can, but like that's sort of the, you shouldn't necessarily, not always. I'm not, you know, I'm not a firm believer that it needs to be at 100% for your household. You want it to be a sustainable solution, not just sustainable for the environment, but sustainable for like actual practical use, or you won't do it. If it becomes too hard, like think back to when you were kids and like recycling, like at least I was in a small town in Michigan and my mom was gung-ho on it. We had the whole recycling, you know, system that she created and she would then package it all up in her car and take it to like the local church that had like recycling. Well, needless to say, there weren't a whole lot of families that were doing that. But now everybody recycles and wouldn't think to like throw a glass bottle in their garbage because it's made easy. It's curbside recycling, right? So now we're trying to say we should be thinking about our clothes the same way. It's one of the biggest polluters, fashion industry in general, and the dyes and the usage and the pollution of the water. And we think about there's so much waste in it and there's just a lot of different factors that can help if we just reuse every item that we did like twice as much, which shouldn't be that hard for any of us to do, and be more thoughtful about the types of things that we are purchasing. Is it something that we're going to, you know, my kid can wear 50 times, you know, is it the winter coat? Okay, well, maybe that does make sense. I mean, we have lots of great outerwear, but I'm just saying if we're more conscientious about the types of things that we actually are spending and consuming on, we can make a lot of headway en masse towards, you know, the reduction of the, you know, both eco-friendly as well as financially.
We are so excited. This episode of Fam for All Moms is brought to you guys by Margaret M, a fabulous clothing line that's really great for women who have a hectic lifestyle and want to look good and feel good with ease without compromising their style. You know, I got some clothes and I have to say what I really like about them is they're very slimming. They're very COVID friendly.
Very COVID friendly. I know. Aren't we all living a hectic lifestyle but want to look good and feel good without compromising our style and then also look a little thinner? I've been baking way too much, so I'm into that. I like that they have really nice memory stretch fabric, so everything feels like you're wearing, you know, like your comfy clothing at home, but it's actually slimming. They have that tummy tuck mesh, so it's included in the slimming pants, which are my favorite from all of the stuff that I got from them. And all their clothes can be put in the washing machine. That is the most important part to me because I cannot stand when I buy clothing and then it says dry clean only. It's like, this will never be washed again.
They're all pull on and they come in sizes from extra small to extra, extra large, plus sizes 1X to 3X, depending on your selected styles. They're made in Canada, super comfy. They could be worn casually around your house or you can dress them up and leave your house, which sounds amazing. We have a special offer for our fam listeners. So Margaret M's offer to fam listeners is 25% off by using the promo code FAM25. Margaret M offers hassle-free returns if you're not satisfied. To get 25% off your first order, go to margaretm.ca. That's margaretm.ca. Don't miss out on this great offer. We promise you'll love them.
Use our code FAM25 for 25% off.
You know, speaking of sustainability and everything, do you try to get your kids on board with anything in as far as sustainability goes?
Well, so obviously I have this business and so they're used to having me talking about swoondle all over the place. And so the second they don't like something in their wardrobe, they'll be like, Mom, you have to swoondle this and like cast it off to me. And they also will be like, Mom, can you swoondle me some, you know, my son in particular will come up with these crazy things that he wants. He'll be like, I want some like orange and fluorescent yellow sneakers. Can you swoondle me some? Be like, well, we'll see. How about these ones? but we definitely, again, like I'm not playing martyr here. Like, you know, I have an Amazon account and I order, you know, I have deliveries coming and what have you. But we definitely, we compost. We have a garden. We just got quarantine chickens.
Oh my God. You know, I heard chickens are selling out. My husband tried to get chickens and he was like, all the chickens are sold out because of quarantine. Yes. And he was so sad about it.
Everybody's gotten on the chicken bandwagon.
Yep.
We definitely are, we do try as much as we can to be, you know, having living in a house that as much as we can realistically do. We try to be really proactive in teaching the kids about recycling and compost and like where your food is coming from and how to make it as much of a cycle as we can.
Awesome. Are you still in New York now?
We are. We're not in the city. We're in Long Island.
Okay.
We moved about a year and a half to have a little bit more space and get those chickens.
I hear you. I was going to, well, you said Brooklyn and then I was thinking chickens and I was like, oh, I wonder what's going on in New York these days. I haven't been in New York in so long, obviously COVID and even before that. Yeah. I just, you know, it sounds nice to have space and chickens.
I feel like it would be very Brooklyn though to have chicken now.
You know, I've never been to Brooklyn and my grandpa was from Brooklyn. I have roots in Brooklyn and I've never been there. Sad. One day.
You can anyway. Sing that song American Boy where it's like, I haven't been to Brooklyn, but I hear it's good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I always think of my grandpa's like, he's just like an old tough guy from Brooklyn. And he always talked about Brooklyn like this. I got beat up every day or I had to beat somebody up every day. He was just, anyway.
That
was
now just you'll just be grandpa. Beating up people to like get to the next coffee shop. But,
yeah, right? Exactly. It's very cool to be in Brooklyn.
Well, thank you so much for hanging out with us and answering questions that we threw at you and for the business that you do. I can't wait for everybody to learn about it and hopefully use it. Because it's fabulous. Mm-hmm. And maybe one day we'll see you around in real life.
Yep.
Oh, IRL. That would be awesome.
I love that. IRL. Yeah. Well, where can people find you?
Yes. Yeah, swoondle.com.
Swoondle. Okay.
Yep. Yeah, swoondle.com. SWOONDLE.com. At Swoondle Society on Instagram. And I actually did create a promo for your listeners as well. FAM50. And they can get 50% off their first month.
Oh, awesome.
Amazing. I'm gonna try it out tonight.
I know. Me too.
Yeah, get in there, girl.
Get it. Well, I hope you have a fabulous day with your kiddos and your life over there in New York.
Yeah. Thank you. Likewise.
I am so happy we learned about her.
It sounds like so much more work than it really is to do something like that, to just like put a bag together, you know, just even talking to her. You guys didn't hear this part right after we hung up. This is always actually what happens. We hang up with somebody and then they tell us other information. We're like, oh,
that would have been great on the podcast.
Yeah, exactly. But she was like, you know, we have these bags that we send to you and you just hang it up in the closet and then you can just start to fill it or you can put it in your laundry room and just start throwing clothing in it. And I was like, well, dang it. If that just makes it so much easier because that's exactly what happens is I have a box sitting in the kids' closet.
Well, I think she touched on something important, too, that she wanted to make a service that is genuinely easy to use because otherwise it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
And I mean, I feel that way, too. I'm always like, oh, that sounds great. But then when I get home, am I actually going to do it? But this I really want to because I think that it's a good way to really, 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 I don't know, lower my carbon footprint. If I may be so bold to say that, I want a smaller carbon footprint. I appreciate that. And I know that times are hard for a lot of people financially right now, but we felt like it was an important conversation to have so that you can still feel good about getting your kids some clothes. Because moms put a lot of pressure on themselves to have new stuff for their kids, for Instagram or whatever.
And you realize like your kids are going to their clothing really isn't like our clothing where we need to have something that's just like so nice and looks new and everything. It's like you really don't unless you're doing family pictures or something because otherwise your kids don't care. 5 minutes into wearing something, it's ruined.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. My kids. Well, and she also hit on a funny point. Both my boys really gravitate towards very specific clothing items in their closet. Like 1 month or season, they'll be obsessed with dinosaurs. And if it doesn't have a dinosaur on it, like, go fuck yourself.
I know. Oh, I know. I know.
So I love it. I love it. And I hope you guys check her out. And what else? That's all I got to say.
That's all I've got to say today, too. I hope you guys are enjoying the podcast. We're still trying to figure things out. Now that we're back in the studio, I think it feels a little bit better.
It's way better. Oh, my God. I was drowning with doing a Zoom from home. And I know I've said this so many times, but I'm just an in-person person. And our guests are still via Zoom. But this has given us the opportunity to have conversations with people that are not LA locals.
Yeah.
So that's been fun.
Yeah.
In a perfect world, though, we will be social distance in the studio soon with guests that we can just love on from 6 feet away.
Yep. I agree.
That's my goal.
We hope you guys are doing well. We love you so much. Thanks for sticking with us. And we'll talk to you soon.
Cheerio.
Bye.